You sure about that?
Yeah, Fart's on fire. Pick something really emotional from it. Like the part where he's reaching the peak and he's going like this. Because I'm really looking to inspire the U.S. Men's National Team. A.K.A. the U.S. Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I don't understand that. I don't understand how you can look at USMNT and just...
When I see the abbreviation MNT, I instantly go to Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I do.
It's just missing the T.
I do, but only when there's a T.
No, I don't need to see the T. That's like the opposite of dyslexia. I put letters there. I don't take them away. I put the letters there.
I'm still laughing at this Bill Simmons thing.
Well, you should.
It's fantastic.
There's a reason why I said, you know, we're putting the draft on just to watch Bill Simmons. Because he's going to do something that is worthy of winning the internet.
Oh. And then the lip bite.
Oh.
That's awesome.
That is. But not as awesome as America. Moving on.
Yeah.
That's happening. World Cup still going on. NBA draft, obviously, still going on as we speak. Looking forward to that on this episode of Eastbound Fourth Down.
So there it is. There's your Hearts on Fire. Well, at least that's where it will be after I'm done editing this thing.
Yes. Way to ruin the magic.
Oh, yes.
Way to ruin the magic. Ladies and gentlemen, ignore what he just said. What actually happens is...
You mean podcasts don't stream live whenever you touch one in your podcast app? Gasp!
Hey, look, we have a button, we press it, and stuff happens, okay? It happens not as live. That's how it works, man.
Yes.
Live. Because we, too, are keeping it classy.
All the way to Christmas?
Well, all the way till whenever. But, so, World Cup USA today advancing after a 1-0 defeat at the hands of Jurgen Klinsmann's home country.
Excuse me, sir?
He doesn't have the papers yet.
His home country is the United States.
No, it's not. A, he doesn't even have the papers. B,
he has a home in California. That is his home.
He lives here. I didn't say where he lives.
Has an American wife.
He's from Germany. Nothing wrong with that. We love Germany here on Eastbound and Fourth Down when we don't compete against them during... at athletic events, but only for those minutes of athletic events.
Well,
because some of us happen to have German ties.
Either way, it wasn't exactly the national team's finest moment today. There was, well, quite frankly, the midfield just couldn't hold on to the ball, almost how it was against Ghana. You tip your cap to the defense, who played a very good game.
I wouldn't necessarily say so much like Ghana, where the midfield couldn't hold on to the ball. Yeah, they couldn't hold on to the ball. But it was mainly because, for the majority of the game, we didn't have the ball.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It was a different kind of didn't have the ball. Ghana was just taking it away and using their athleticism. Germany was just using their clinical skills. And for the first part of the game, really, until Germany scored in the second half in the 50-whatever minute it was that they scored in, 50, 56, whatever, somewhere in there, it was more of a game of nobody was really trying overtly hard. Granted, conditions on the pitch were abysmal. It had been raining, just constant raining. I mean, then again, you kind of had to expect it. They're playing it in Brazil, which is on, you know... Granted, you would have thought it would have happened in their game inside the rainforest and not on the coast, but it still rains in Brazil a heck of a lot, as they are located near the tropics, and it tends to rain over there. There were early talks before the game, around the 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock hour, of maybe the game getting postponed because fans couldn't make it to the stadium due to flooding, and there was no reliable feedback on what the pitch was looking like. So I have a laundry list of excuses I'm ready to rattle off in defense of the men's national team today. One of them being the pitch was horrible. The second one being they had to play on shorter rest than Germany, and they had to come from the toughest field to play at in the World Cup. That field in Manaus, was it? I believe it's the name of the city in the middle of the rainforest. City of somewhere around, they said, population of a million, something or the other. So it's a huge city, just happens to be in the middle of the rainforest. All four teams besides the U.S., that's Italy, England, and I believe Cameroon and Croatia? I don't know. I forget the other team, but they all just gave poor performances afterwards. That rainforest is a killer. The high humidity, high temperatures, the travel to get there, brutal on these players. In these short time frames that they have when you're playing world-class games now, once a week.
Yeah, I agree with you. The conditions, the travel schedule, nothing's really been in the U.S.'s favor so far, but you have to tip your cap. The United States of America got out of the quote-unquote group of death that just about every soccer expert said they wouldn't. They did it with a win over a team that they traditionally can't beat in Ghana. They did it with what should have been a win over Portugal and a respectable loss against a German team that me and you both thought were just going to take the United States out behind the woodshed earlier.
Well, you thought. I was confident the U.S. would hold their own. I will say this. The tie against Portugal felt like a loss, and the loss against Germany felt like a win. That's pretty much the reaction I've seen across the internet and from people we've talked to today, because regardless of what happened, the U.S. moved on. And I'm not going to say that this has been the most perilous group of death ever in World Cup history. I am not versed enough in World Cup lore to say that this is the group of death to end all groups of death.
No, but this is the one that was labeled for this World Cup, and it was supposed to be so unfair, and it was supposed to be such a letback, such a setback to growing soccer in the United States because they weren't going to get out of it. And yet here they are, standing, about to play Belgium, and about to really have a shot to go to the final eight.
You know what, though? Yes, they did, because I felt, from watching this U.S. team over the past couple of years grow under Jurgen Klinsmann, change its brand of football that they play, I was fully confident that the United States was going to get out of it, because the United States, A, was going to absolutely beat Ghana. That was the one thing. We got Ghana first. It was the game we had time to plan for. They have been the thorn in our side over the past two World Cups. We wanted Ghana more than any other team in the field. Portugal, I felt, was very beatable. Yeah, they have the second best player in the world. Yeah, I said it. Second best. Sorry. But Cristiano Ronaldo is not Lionel Messi. They're both... Don't get me wrong. They're both great players.
Oh, yes.
However, Messi doesn't give up like Ronaldo.
And
Ronaldo gave up in many areas, including every time he was offsides in the U.S. game. I didn't see that fabulous cross he made to whoever his random teammate is, who no one will ever bother to know his name because he's not half as good-looking or as talented as Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, it's pretty much, Cristiano Ronaldo. He's the only reason why Portugal, won a game against Ghana, sealing the U.S.'s ticket in there because they weren't making up that goal differential, and the only reason why the U.S. did not advance automatically on Saturday.
Yeah.
But overall, quite impressed. Looking on, next round, we have Belgium.
A very beatable team.
Often considered to be the dark horse of the tournament, the quote-unquote, at the same time, fifth favorite underdog. Fun fact about Belgium, it's a silly country. And I say that because, do you know how Belgium declared its independence?
Waffles.
Close.
Chocolates.
I'll just tell you. Once upon a time, Belgium, way back when, you know, was a little country, and they were controlled by the Netherlands. But most people there spoke French. Well, half people spoke French, half people spoke Dutch. And there were little arguments about legal things, about legal documents, on what things, what language to print them in. So anyways, one day, a whole bunch of people go to the opera. And they get really drunk, because that's what you do at the opera. You get really drunk. And then the opera is a really good opera. It's all about, you know, patriotism and nationalism. So they drink some more after that. The whole, basically the whole country turns up, because it's a really small country.
Yes, it is.
And they mill about the streets, get really drunk, and then say, "We're independent!" And that's how Belgium declared their independence. I am mostly not lying about that. Feel free to fact check that.
I will fact check that later.
Yeah. Seriously.
Because I don't know if I can believe, just, you know,
yes, then
countries declaring independence because they got drunk at an opera.
I assure you, sir. Other fun facts about Belgium, they are the only country in the world that has, whose interstate system, I'm not even sure if they have more than one state in Belgium. Seriously, it's a small country. But their entire, what would be deemed interstate in big countries with multiple states, you know, which would need an interstate system, is completely lit. The entire interstate system is completely lit there.
Wow.
Only country in the world.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, uh-huh. Do you have any fun Belgium tips?
Chocolate's delicious.
Okay, so nothing new to contribute there.
Not much, no.
That's okay. Your department isn't geography.
No, it's
not. That's my department. That's okay. But hey, like you said, very beautiful because...
I was better at finding Carmen Sandiego in time than in on the world.
Well, you know, to each their own. But like you said, very beautiful team. They are currently a top 10 team in the world. But to steal a phrase... they don't necessarily play an SEC schedule.
Yeah, not really.
They've had a lot of soft matches over the past couple years, and they've had their FIFA ranking boosted up. Now, granted, they have some very talented players, but they have also looked extremely unimpressed in group play. Close game with Algeria. Really, really close games with that entire group. It's just been, you know, they look quite beatable. Algeria being the other team coming out of that, and they will play Germany in the first round. Germany playing on Monday. The USA, even though they're the second seed, they play on Tuesday. A little bit different to American thinkings where you get the higher seed, you get the bye week, well, the extra bye day. Instead, you get the higher seed, you get the easier team. And I have to agree that either one of those teams, I feel confident we will beat. Although Algeria showed some tremendous ability to score. After a serious letdown in the first game, they unleashed a flurry of goals in their second
game. But after 2010, Algeria knows they don't want none of this.
Oh, no, they don't.
Oh, it's incredible.
They've had their hearts broken by the USA, and I bet they're happy to not see the USA and devastated to see they get to take on the German
Germans.
With Schweinsteiger.
And yes, Müller. Schweinsteiger, who has possession of the ball 98% of the time.
That's what he does for Germany. Schweinsteiger. He's basically Michael Bradley, who holds on to the ball and has a full head of hair.
Yeah, man. You know, I saw a fact today. Michael Bradley, they track how far everybody runs in the World Cup.
Yeah.
So far, Michael Bradley has run further than any player in the World Cup. And part of that's because he's chasing down the ball.
Would you go to say that he would run 500 miles?
And he would walk 500 more.
Just to be the man?
Who walked 1,000 miles.
And couldn't get the ball past the front door?
Well, that's when he runs. He ran so far away.
Well, I hope so.
It's going to take him all night and day to get away from these bad...
Can I tell you something? As mad as I am at Michael Bradley, it's so disappointing because I like Michael Bradley.
You are very mad at Michael Bradley right
now. I like Michael Bradley. I know what a good player he is.
You are radio-unfriendly mad at Michael Bradley.
But man, it really ticks me off.
The SEC would have some words about you.
Playing.
And I keep trying to calm you down. Yeah, he's been abysmal on offense. And if we lose... I will jump on that boat, but for the moment, he hasn't been the reason 100%. I'm not going to pin everything on that Portugal tie on him, as he was the last USA person to have the ball.
But he's the first domino to fall.
He's been having some great troubles on the offense. However, during Germany, he made some fabulous clears. He has been playing defense. Jurgen Klinsmann keeps...
But see, here's the thing. It's great that Mike Bradley can play defense, but that's not why you want Mike Bradley on your team.
Here's the problem.
You want Mike Bradley on your team because Mike Bradley can distribute the ball to your very good strikers, and he can make things happen.
Here's the problem.
By setting things up.
If there was another option, if there was another viable 90-minute option, or 100 minutes as World Cup games actually are, as you play... about, 45, 50. The USA is not a deep team. When Jozy Altidore went out, there's nobody else on the roster to put behind. There's no other
it's
forwards.
It's not a deep midfield team.
And it's not deep up front. It's not deep up front. There is some help in the back. Midfield, they can shuffle people around, but it's not a deep team. Part of that being, it's the bright side and it's the dark side of this World Cup for the U.S. national team. On the bright side, we have talent that can compete with the world's best. And I would say we competed with Germany quite well. We only lost to them by one goal. Portugal lost to them by 5 and had someone kicked off for a red card.
Yeah.
We did better than Portugal. And even though we tied Portugal, I consider that a win because we showed we can outplay Portugal, another one of the teams considered to be world class. But on the negative side, U.S. soccer is not deep. Hopefully, we can get more players who have, that mom who's from USA or dad's from USA from four. We need to get more of those foreign players, perhaps. I know they're out there. But more importantly, soccer on the home front needs to improve a lot. It has.
Oh, yeah.
This World Cup, all three out of the four CONCACAF teams that made it to the World Cup have advanced to the next round.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
proving
been
a, that CONCACAF is
the
no
SEC.
Let's just say, as of current standings, let's put CONCACAF Pac-12-ish to equate that a little bit better. CONCACAF will be about Pac-12. Maybe Big 12.
Okay.
Talented teams. Gonna put up a good fight. Not necessarily championship quality, because let's face it, the only continents that win World Cups as of the moment are Europe and South America.
Yeah.
And this is a South American thing, and I have to say, after the U.S. hopefully beats the Belgians in their waffles on Tuesday...
The Belgians.
They will most likely face... Lionel Messi and the Argentinians after a fresh whooping of the Swiss.
Let's hope so.
And unfortunately, I have to call it there because, A, I have Argentina in the finals. Not that I want them there. Now that I see that the U.S. has to go through them, I was hoping we could be on the other side and go through France or one of those other mamby-pamby countries over there. But unfortunately, we have to get the little magician, and unfortunately, Argentina has more players on it that are good besides him, unlike Portugal with Ronaldo.
Yeah.
I have to say, the U.S. will make it to the quarters. they will acquit themselves well and fight with honor and dignity and all that. And unfortunately,
well,
they will bow out.
But even then, the quarters is a resounding, resounding success for this U.S. men's national team.
The sad thing is, we've been to the quarters before, and we went with a far less talented team.
Yes, but we also had
that was a luckier.
I was about to say, but we also had luck and not as bad of a draw.
And no, that was a fabulous draw. Even though we were the low, did we win the group that year?
I don't remember. I know we got out, but
that was Landon. That was the year we beat Portugal. Landon Donovan's first World Cup, I believe. He was no longer with the team. I remember that. That did cause quite a bit of stir in the United States regarding soccer, but it fell quite short and did poorly at the next World Cup in Germany. Did quite poorly. Picked up a little bit, obviously, when they won the Confederation Cup. Well, they didn't win the Confederation Cup, but they beat Spain right before Spain went on that hot tear and just destroyed every opponent except for, you know, like 3 out of 50 or something like that. What do you see the fate of U.S. soccer moving forward? How do you judge the temperature of the water?
Oh, it's boiling.
Boiling. Ooh, wow, boiling. Jumping straight to boiling.
It's boiling.
How long do you expect that boil to last?
I think it can keep going as long as the United States keeps playing competitive soccer, as long as they keep their stars like Clint Dempsey, like their Graham Zuzis, like their Kyle Beckermans, playing at home in Major League Soccer, growing the product that is Major League Soccer.
Which has improved because Major League Soccer also has several other players in the World Cup. There's an Australian fellow. I've drawn a blank on his name because Australia exited out, but he is the star of the Australian team. Obviously, many Central American teams have players in MLS who don't make it overseas to the European leagues. Not too many South Americans because South America has some pretty established leagues already. Not that Central America doesn't. Mexico has a soccer league, of course, but the other countries are a little too small to necessarily have such a big stage to play on. But it's good to see that. I'm not quite as optimistic as you. I feel the water's going to remain slightly below boiling. It's going to be higher than lukewarm. It's going to be warm. I see it taking off even more when the United States potentially gets the 2022 World Cup after FIFA finally makes a thorough admonishing of Qatar for bribing officials. And, oh, you don't bribe FIFA officials like that, comma in parentheses, and get caught. Oh, you made us look bad. Oh, you don't get the World Cup. You shouldn't have had it in the first place, Qatar. Your country's the size of Newark. You're building the stadiums with slave labor from India and Nepal. And your temperature there is hotter than Brazil. And due to the dress codes that you want to enforce, many of the players would get kicked out of the country after they exchange jerseys after the game. I mean, for goodness sake, you don't have the best climate to host an event of this caliber or type.
Yeah, nor are you just grr.
Yeah, I mean, nothing...
Just grr about the whole situation.
Honestly, I'm not speaking horribly ill of Qatar as, you know, country, oil money, you know, is what it is, but you didn't do things right here, and you weren't on the level. You weren't on the level here, and quite frankly, you look bad after it. One more bit of World Cup news before we take a transition over. There is a gentleman from Uruguay whose idol would appear to be a one Mike Tyson, Mr. Luis Suarez.
Oof.
Striker for Man City?
I believe you're correct there. I could be wrong. Sorry if we have any diehard soccer listeners. I mean, we're not completely soccer illiterate, but it's also not our big thing.
I know he plays in the Premier League over in England. Yeah, it happens.
But yeah, he's just biting folks.
He got a little hungry for Italian, and he took a bite out of one of the defenders. And then tried to play it off like he didn't bite it, even though he clearly bit it. This is the third time he's bitten another human being on a soccer field during a match. And he was recently suspended for a couple months. And I have to say, I'm extremely disappointed in FIFA in their handling of this matter. Biting people isn't normal. It's not what you do. It shouldn't be accepted. And this young man needs help. Look, when was the last time you settled an argument by biting someone?
Never.
Not even in preschool? You can admit to it in preschool.
I don't even think I ever bit someone in preschool.
Yeah, me either. I'm just saying. You know, that's the last time you hear about people biting people is preschool.
Yeah.
He needs psychological help.
Occasionally that weird kid in middle school, but...
Well, not in my class. He gets separated and is moved to the special class, generally.
Yeah, usually. But you hear about him from down the hall.
Still yeah, though. Yeah, you do.
But, yeah. Anyway, World Cup, good times.
Good times.
More good times happening in the Barclay Center as we speak, actually.
Indeed.
Yeah, the NBA draft. Your Chicago Bulls, buddy. Dougie McBuckets.
Trade to 16 pending.
Ananite.
Trade pending.
Please, they're going to approve that.
Yes, they are.
They're going to approve that.
Yes, they are. Really. I have to say trade pending because it hasn't happened yet. And the NBA has some really weird rules about it. You can say there's a trade, but it doesn't happen until the league officially approves of it the next day. These things almost always go through, though.
Also, can I tell you, I love the Shabazz Napier to Charlotte pick that just came off the board.
Yeah, what pick? That's pick
24.
24.
That's a great value.
That's a great value for
Shabazz Napier.
That far, great value. Obviously, won the NCAA championship, showed a lot of poise, has a lot of character, intangibles. However, he failed because doesn't necessarily have the body or the complete skill set yet. That being said, he's talented, and he's going to a team that made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Last year. So in previous years, that would have been, oh, it's so sad to see he's going to go die in Charlotte. Now it's, well, let's see what happens.
Best team with potential over there.
Let's see what happens. Back in the Charlotte Hornets, back in the teal and purple.
Yes, sir.
As it should be.
As God intended.
Different shade, slightly different mascot.
But it still looks awesome.
You like it? You approve of it?
Oh, yes. Totally. See, we've been on this rant before. I mean, I'm a fan of a lot of 90s teams. The Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, the Jags, and I've seen all these 90s teams like the Rays, the Hornets for a time. Well, I mean, the Hornets had to change because the Bobcats were not the Hornets. However,
well,
I love when these teams that were born of the 90s embrace what they are. Embrace that they are their colors, their tradition, they're rooted in that time. And when they embrace these really bright, loud colors like this teal and this purple and this gold, I love it.
They don't have gold.
No, but gold. I'm talking about just those teams in general.
Oh, wait, what team from the 90s used gold?
Jags.
Oh, that's right.
The Mighty Ducks had a little bit of gold in their color scheme. At times.
I don't know. You just threw me for a loop because that was no one's dominant color or even secondary color. Accents. But I don't like it as much as the original. And in case you're wondering why they didn't go back to the original logo is because the team does not own that logo. That logo is currently owned by the NBA, and they sell it in the particular line of hats in the throwback section. And every team in the league, whenever you go and buy a hat in a store or online, unless you buy an item of clothing or anything with an NBA logo on it from directly the team's website or the team's arena, that profit is split amongst the entire owners. And because that logo is currently owned by the NBA, the Hornets could not take it back due to legal reasons, as it would diminish the profits from the throwback section. So that is why they couldn't go back to their old logo, which I like slightly more. It was a little cartoon, more funny. Again, that was another huge thing with the 90s. Most teams picked slightly more cartoonish logos.
Yeah.
Slightly more fun logos aimed a lot at kids.
The only one that I can say really wasn't like that was... That and the Jags logo wasn't very cartoony.
Okay, I will. Let me strike that. Carolina Panthers a little bit cartoony. Jags logo not cartoony.
Yeah, and
Carolina
Panthers, and I really feel like the Jags logo and their branding suffered for that.
Yeah. Well
simply because I'm not huge on our old logo.
Well, yes. I should scratch the Carolina Panthers because their logo has no anatomical features at all. Literally,
this is true.
Literally, it's just a black shadow.
It's a black shadow with eyes and a mouth.
And a couple whiskers and some ears.
Yeah.
And your mind, due to image association, says that looks like a cat. There's a heck of a lot more science behind it. I'm just gonna leave it at that, but basically they have a blob. Their mascot's a shape. It's not an actual cat. The Jaguars at least have anatomical features resembling a feline.
Especially the new logo.
Yes, and even the old logo, the copyright infringing one.
Well,
the shoulder patch.
Well, no, the shoulder patch wasn't the same one as the one that the Jaguar car company freaked out about.
That's part of the reason why you couldn't do it anymore.
No, because we never were able to wear the logo that they were upset about.
No, but I'm sure they were still upset that you put the prowl on the shoulder.
Whatever.
Which I still say should be on your logo. You'll still need that full Jaguar. I'm sorry.
I can take it or leave it.
That's what you do. Put the full thing on there.
I can take it or leave it.
Well, anyways, that's enough of the NFL. This is an NBA segment, sir. First pick overall in the draft, Cleveland Cavaliers select Andrew Wiggins of the Kansas Jayhawks. Canadian guy. Scorner of FSU.
And now... As karma, he will waste out his days, and by days I mean first 4 years of his career.
Well, who knows? We don't know how loyal he is. Clearly not that loyal, because he didn't go to the school that his parents went to and set ties into and have a small modicum of collegiate fame that nobody really knew about until he was rumored to go there.
Yeah. So, just kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Obviously, it's a good pick because he's a good player. Followed up, of course, by... Why am I drawing a blank on Jabari Parker's name? Oh, that's right, because he's going to Minnesota. I'm sorry, not Minnesota. Milwaukee, where players go to be forgotten.
Yes. At least for the first 4 years until he demands a trade.
Yes, which he should. Now, the reason why I said Minnesota is because the gentleman drafted by Minnesota... don't know his name. I don't quite recall his name at the moment. He said he had some choice words when drafted by that the camera caught about having to leave UCLA and sunny Southern California to travel to frigid Minnesota.
Yeah.
And play at one of the worst franchises in the NBA.
Well. Yeah, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Minnesota, just blech.
There was a time when the Bucks were good, and...
A time that wasn't terribly long ago.
Well, the time I'm thinking of is... I'm thinking of the 70s. So, yeah. 40 years ago. But yeah, you're right, the Bucks have been... slightly good within my lifetime for brief points and brief stints. We're good careers go to die. I will say this. Through 26 picks, I have been most impressed with the drafting done by the Orlando Magic.
Really?
Orlando.
You like that first pick?
I like that first pick, especially when I saw the pick that they traded to get. They traded their 12th and got the point guard from Louisiana Lafayette.
Peyton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, point guard, well, really, I mean, the Magic need just about one of everything.
Yes, they do.
However, Peyton, they needed that point guard of the future. They need that guy that's going to run that offense for them going forward.
Point guard of the future. Try point guard of the now. Jameer Nelson?
Woo! Yeah, Jameer's rough. Getting up there.
Jameer has needed to leave that franchise for the last three drafts.
Yeah. And I don't think we completely get rid of him this season. I think he sticks around.
No, he's going to stick around, show him the ropes, of course.
But, yeah, and I enjoy the Aaron Gordon pick simply because Arizona was just a lot of fun to watch this year.
They were. He is a freak athlete. Everyone raves about his athletic talents. Obviously, going to translate well to scoring. And in a young team that's going to be getting up and down the floor, obviously always good for a young guy because you're going to have, obviously, you're going to have Aaron Gordon, you're going to have Peyton, and you're also going to have your pick from last year.
That we will. Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo. That's going to be a young team. Could be an exciting team, hopefully. Maybe good to watch to see what kind of role players they get.
It'll be one more year till we'll watch, I believe.
Other players to look at, Joel Embiid, he of the broken toe, and also from the University of Kansas. Early on, when I didn't know a lot about the injury, I was extremely concerned about him, and I thought he would slide all the way down to 7. However, after seeing that greats such as Hakeem Olajuwon, another center, and Michael Jordan, not a center, also had a similar broken toe type injury, they both seem to recover fine and do fabulous things with their careers. Less concerned about this being a career-ending injury. Also, he is a heck of a lot less lighter and more spry and more athletic and seems to heal a heck of a lot faster than such disappointments as Yao Ming and Greg Oden.
Yeah, and at the same time, I mean, I feel like this is just a fantastic pick on the part of the 76ers, simply because you don't hear a lot about dominant centers in the NBA anymore, well, and I really feel like Joel Embiid has a chance to be one.
Do you want
to
know what I saw when I saw that they took him? I gave a little, huh? Because they drafted a center last year. Granted, he never played a single minute because he was also injured when they drafted him. he missed the entire year. Embiid, I could see him back after Christmas. I could see him back for New Year's. I could see him back maybe for Christmas. Yeah, no. He's going to be back January.
Start of 2015.
Yeah, February-ish. Of course, Nerlens Noel being the player that they acquired in a trade through the Pelicans.
Yes, sir.
So, interesting to see exactly what they're going to do to work out with that. Another player I am extremely high on, Dante Exum, young man from Australia.
Young man you thought the Magic was going to draft.
I thought they should draft because they needed a point guard. Obviously, value was still available and they made a great trade. Glad they didn't take Marcus Smart. I have a lot of questions about that young man.
I think most people do, though. But I feel like he's got too big of an upside for somebody to ignore in the top 10.
Well, let's hope he's coachable. Let's hope he learns. He has upside, yes, taken by the Boston Celtics. But Dante Exum, I saw some highlight videos of him on YouTube. Obviously, not exactly the greatest advanced scouting in the world. But, wow. Wow. Just wow. If you have the time, go watch this young man. Watch him in the Junior World Championship Series. Watch any Australian footage you can of him. He comes from the same Australian sports... it's not really a school because he forego college. It's more of a... I'm not exactly sure what to call it. I guess camp kind of deal. were Australian greats such as Luke Longley, Patty Mills at the San Antonio Spurs.
Please tell me you saw what just happened on the draft.
Oh, I missed it. What happened?
PJ Harrison, former North Carolina Tar Heel, current D-League player drafted by the Miami Heat.
I'm sorry for him. Not that I was a huge fan of him to start with, but now he has gone to a place I do not support. Anyways, other greats besides Patty Mills and Luke Longley include Bogut. So he comes from he comes from good stock.
Yeah. And then my pick of the top 10. I'm sorry. I know you're not huge on him, but I love Jabari Parker. I think the Bucks have a surefire slam dunk pick with him.
Oh no! It's not that I question his talents. Oh, he is going to be one of the guys in consideration for Rookie of the Year, and he is one of the 8 potential guys, maybe more, because just the guys that on paper right now have a shot of making an All Star game in their future. Quite frankly, the rookie sophomore game this year is going to be dominated by the rookies. Heck, usually, although it's changed this year in formats, it's now rookies and sophomores on the same squad. But if they had gone back to the old format, rookies versus sophomores, for entertainment purposes only, I would perhaps feel a little lucky showing some love to the rookies.
Yeah.
This is a stellar class. One of the best in years. You've heard it from the guys all week, month, 2 months, that this is going to be one of the best NBA draft classes ever, simply by
a bunch of future
all-stars
and a bunch of Hall of Famers potentially sitting in this draft. But we're about to hit the rough time. Draft's over. NHL drafts over the weekend. Once the World Cup's gone, it'll be tough. But we'll be staring football right in the face.
Yeah, but all we have is baseball to talk about. And let's face it, when was the last time we talked baseball on here?
This is a good point.
We don't do baseball talk on here.
We'll find a way.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering, if you want us to talk baseball, hit us up. We can talk baseball. Believe it or not, we're actually pretty caught up on the comings and goings of the Major League Baseball.
It's just the problem with baseball is this.
It's boring.
Well, it's not
so
necessarily
long.
Boring, but more than...
It's so long.
I hate the long season.
Week by week, it doesn't really matter.
Like, and my thing is this. When baseball in July, June and July, I mean, obviously, they don't have June to themselves this year, but late June is usually, you know, baseball pretty much has the floor to themselves in July. It just so happens that when baseball has center stage and they're the only show in town, they're in the worst part of their season.
Yes.
And that is a terrible thing.
Honestly, all baseball, really, up until the All-Star break, it really is only the handicap at which you play to determine who's going to make the playoffs. And honestly, a good, I would say a solid, and feel free to get toss out a number here, I'd say a third of the league is already eliminated from the postseason by the All-Star break.
Not technically or mathematically.
Not technically, just
but
due
just
to the handicap.
Just
due to the
in
handicap.
In terms of people just kind of realizing.
Think about it like golf.
Maybe, yeah.
Think about it like a golf handicap. Maybe your handicap is high, maybe your handicap is low. Obviously, a high handicap indicates you're not exactly hitting par on every hole. And most of the teams, we're looking at you, Chicago Cubs, and White Sox this year as well, you're not exactly hitting par for the course.
Yeah.
It's really a handicap. People, the minor league baseball draft just happened. People are going to be shuffling around. Trades happen. Players get brought up, sent down. Rotations get shaken up. And really, the season doesn't start until after the All-Star break, mid-July. that's when games really start becoming competitive. And even then, on a week-by-week basis, game-by-game, you really can't get a solid pull. A pulse, because teams may go up 6 weeks, down six games the next week. It's really a tough sport, other than the diehards, to get into every week. It wears on you. There's a lot of, yeah, so what? You were up 500 in May, and then you're down at batting 330 in June. It's
But anyway, you know what shouldn't be up and down?
What?
Your appreciation for Eastbound and Fourth Down.
Perfect world.
Yes, and you can always show it by liking us on Facebook, Eastbound and Fourth Down, following us on Twitter, at EB4D, and that has been continually, at EB4D underscore podcast, should I say, and that has been continually down, so please follow us. We want to do cool things on Twitter, and we can't do it unless we have the followers for it.
Demand us to do things. Maybe we'll listen to you.
Demand it, and we'll do it.
We will pander. Believe us, we will sell out. Unless, of course, you want us to do something absolutely insanely stupid, like talk about a team we don't like, or a team that's particularly interesting, like, say, no offense, if you want us to talk about New York Yankees, Boston Red Sox, whenever they play, we're not necessarily going to do that, because why?
I'll get into... We'll save that talk for how one of the greatest rivalries in all sports is being destroyed by overexposure. Exactly. But that's a different talk for a different time. Either way, however you're listening to us, we really appreciate it. With that being said, I'm Ryan Kelly.
I'm Craig Wilson.
Y'all come back now.
You hear? He's bound it down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long...